be visiting with us. We've been on I didn't plan it up being this long, but we've been on a journey for a year through the Sermon on the Mount. We started July 2020, and the Lord spoke to me a couple of years ago, probably 2.5 years ago, and he said clearly in prayer one morning, he said, "Son, there's a storm coming, and you best get ready for it." So the promise at the end of the Sermon on the Mount is if we take this sermon from Jesus and do what he says, you're like a wise man, builds his house on a rock when the storm comes, not if, right? Like Jesus is like, it's guaranteed, it's coming. If your house was built right, no matter what the storm is, your house will stand up. Amen? We are right at the end of this sermon, church, like literally 2-3 weeks we'll be done. But we're in Matthew 7, 15 through 20 this morning. We were here 2 Sundays ago that we had Mother's Day last weekend. And so we're going to be back in the same passage. We're talking about prophets and fruit, part 2. Prophets and fruit, part 2. Let's read this together. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Let's say that together, church. This is what we're going to talk about this morning. You will what? Know them by their fruits, right? Know who? Who's Jesus talking about? Prophet. Well, prophets in general, right? False prophets, but he's saying prophets because let's keep reading, right? Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they, right? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit, right? So we're talking about good and bad prophets here. Right? He's telling you, here's how you figure it out, right? A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Who's in control? God, right? Do we need to freak out if there's false prophets running around? No, but we do need some discernment. And that, thank you very much, is what is missing grossly in the body of Christ today. So then, verse 20, Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. Matthew 24, we touched on this last 2 Sundays ago, 24:24, Jesus warns us that there will be false Christs and false prophets performing lying signs and wonders in a direct attempt to deceive even the elect, Jesus says. Right, not brand new Christians. I'm talking folks that know the Lord, right, have been in it for decades, right, serving the Lord, leading the body of Christ. Jesus warns us that the devil will move in the end times to try to get after even the leadership in the body. All right? There's Franklin something or other. This guy used to be a well-known leader in the church, and I don't know, it was 15 years ago or so, the guy just went off the rails. All roads lead to heaven kind of stuff. Instead of preaching this in his church. And obviously big split, but there's a whole bunch of people still follow that guy. Like he's preaching the gospel. Dude, I don't know how you read your Bible and start preaching that stuff. Maybe he's not reading his Bible. Amen. Let's back up just a little bit in Matthew 24. Jesus still speaking to you. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you'll be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. This is Jesus speaking, church. Guaranteed, this is what's going to happen. Look at verse 12, just to throw a little bit more fuzzy feel-good stuff on this message. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Not even going to hit this. There's a sermon coming soon out of Timothy. But you know when Paul warns Timothy in the end times, difficult days will come. Timothy's a young pastor, church in the city of Ephesus. And he describes why the church will be difficult, why being a Christian will be difficult. You know what's not lacking in that whole thing is power. His entire list of why things will be difficult is all character, the entire thing. Haters of, lovers of pleasure, haters of God, right? Disobedient, disrespectful, unreconcilable, all these things. It's character, 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 character. Paul doesn't say there won't be any power. He says there will not be any character. That's what's going to be wrong in the church in the end times, and let's look around. I think we're there. Can I get amen? So back to Matthew 7, verse 16, Jesus says, you'll know them, these prophets specifically, whether they are true or false prophets by their fruits, right? Fruits. This is the same Greek word that Paul uses in Galatians 5 when he's listing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that fruit is how we determine if a prophet is true or false. So if you think about it, one of the popular things that's going on in the church has been going on for a long time. I've been in the church 20 plus years now. But we hear about, like, well, if this prophet's really a prophet, then what he says is going to come true. Anybody hear that? Right? We hear that. And I guess that's okay. I know that the Bible school I went to, pretty strong prophetic anointing in that school. And this guy said, he says, you know what? I don't give dates anymore. He says, every time I've given a date, nothing ever happens on that date, says the prophet, right? Now I hear prophets are, oh, such and such a date. I'm like, all right, man, that's pretty bold, right? But you know what I've learned, church? I don't think that's a great way to determine if a prophet is true or false. Can I get amen? I think it's okay. It's got to be on the list somewhere, but it shouldn't be at the top. Not according to Jesus. Fruits is how we determine. Because look, think about this. Were any of you alive when Jeremiah was around? A couple of you look like you might have been. I don't. Isaiah, right? These guys prophesied things, my beloved, did not come to pass. Some of them has still not come to pass. Are they false prophets? Obviously not, right? If everybody's waiting around, okay, well, let's see if what Isaiah says is coming true. Then they died thinking, see, he didn't hear from God. You see how slippery that one is? That gets real slippery quickly. Can I get amen? You know, the scripture says God works all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Remember years ago, the Spirit of God brought that to my heart and he said, son, I didn't tell you when I was going to do that. I just told you I was going to. He says, how do you not know if you don't handle something properly? If you handle something properly, how do you not know that I will not take what was done bad to you and bless your children or your grandchildren? Just because I don't return it on you doesn't mean I'm not going to fix it. Maybe it's a test to see if you're going to handle yourself right. Can I get amen? So, not only, my beloved, is that a slippery slope, right? If somebody, a prophet prophesies something, and what if it doesn't happen for 20 years? Are we just supposed to sit around? Okay, it's Tuesday. Didn't happen yet. What? That's foolish. Think about it, how foolish that is, right? Obviously, when we receive a prophetic word from anyone, whether it's personal, corporate, or we see it on YouTube now, we're to take that, test the Spirit, right? Bring it to God, pray to the Father about it. If you hear, all of us can hear God. Can I get amen? I've heard prophecies that I've brought to the Lord, and the Lord says, no, that wasn't me. No, I don't say anything. I just say, okay, no worries. Because you know what? I probably said some things that the Lord was like, yeah, that wasn't me either. Can I get amen? Like, we got to stop being so critical in the church. Come on, church. We all miss it. We're all working it out, right? Anybody done working it out yet? Because I'd give you the mic. I'd sit down, because, right? But listen to this. The Bible actually warns us that a prophet can prophesy something that does come true, and it doesn't mean that they're prophesying from the Lord. Deuteronomy 12 and 13. I'm still reviewing from two Sundays ago. Deuteronomy 12 and 13, my beloved, the Lord says, if there is a prophet that rises among you and performs a great sign and wonder, and that sign and wonder comes to pass, and then that prophet starts leading you away from the Lord your God to worship other gods, you shall not listen to that prophet, but you shall surely put him to death. Please don't kill any false prophets today, okay? We're not supposed to. We're in grace. Amen. But you see what I'm saying, my beloved? It's a slippery slope just because someone is demonstrating power. Is that all right? Two things we need to examine. Number one, does this prophet display the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes or no? If the answer is no, we may want to be extra cautious about whether they're saying is true or not true. And here's the thing. It's difficult to determine whether somebody's living by the fruit of the Holy Spirit unless you've got a relationship with that person. I say this all the time, man. Everybody's good at church on Sunday. All right, we're going to have an altar call. Nobody comes up. I'm like, seriously, somebody should be up here right now for something. Can I get an amen? You know, right? We're all good on Sunday. Everybody behaves themselves on Sunday, right? I want to see what's going on in your life when something really rubs you the wrong way, right? Another one of my, like, becoming an infamous statement, when you get squeezed, what's coming out, right? Whatever, you squeeze toothpaste, you know, cake doesn't come out, right? It's whatever's inside you, you squeeze it, whatever comes out, that's what's in there. And if it's ugly, then our responsibility at that point is like, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm so sorry. And then probably say sorry to whoever that just you vomited on. You know what I mean? Like, sorry about that. Can I get amen? Number two. All right, so fruit, my beloved, fruit of the Spirit, you need relationship with someone to determine, right? Can I get amen? Get around them when they're in a bad mood. See how they behave then. Number two, does their doctrine line up with Scripture? In other words, regardless of how powerful they seem to be, regardless of that, I don't care if they raise somebody from the dead right in front of you. Does their doctrine bring glory to Jesus Christ? Do they point people who follow them to biblical Christian living? Repentance. You know what I hear in a church anymore in America? Repent. Stop sinning. Man, I love this story of the woman caught in adultery. All the religious folks drag her to Jesus, and they say, Lord, we caught her red-handed. Red-handed, y'all. I don't know what exactly she was doing when they caught her, but we're not sure. Keep it clean. It's G-rated this morning, family show, right? But they bring this woman to Jesus. They know they caught her red-handed, and they say, Lord, we should stone her to death. That's the laws of Moses, right? And Jesus, we don't know exactly. Some people say he's writing with a stick in the sand. Some people say that he's writing out all their sins in the sand. I don't know. It doesn't say that in the Bible. Maybe he did. I don't know. But he's clearly ignoring them. And finally, as they push him, he looks up and he says, "The one among you who's without sin, feel free to cast the first stone." And one by one, they leave. I love one man I saw recently. I think it was Toby Mack. Toby Mack said, the only one qualified to throw a stone didn't. I was like, wow, that's solid. Because Jesus could have thrown a stone. He's like, look, you know what he's really saying? I'm not throwing stones, and I can. I can throw a stone right now. So if I'm not, y'all shouldn't be either. But here's the thing, church, right? Woman, where are those who condemn you? I don't know. I don't know. Everybody's gone. He says, neither do I condemn you. Now, get your life cleaned up. Right? Look, church, we can't get our life cleaned up until we experience the mercy of God. Right? But once we've experienced his mercy, he says, stop sinning. Get it cleaned up. Can I get amen? Repentance. Forgiveness. Church, we wrestle with it, right? I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years, myself included, for years, like we you know, the hardest person to forgive is yourself, right? Receive, you are forgiven. Man, we sang that song, healed and forgiven. What a powerful truth. The devil will bring things in your past. You know when the devil brings my past up, you know what I say? Yeah, I did that. What else you got? It's forgiven. Paid for. I took care of that a long time ago. Right? What is that's all you got? Honestly, church, that's what I do. When the enemy brings something from my past, it's literally what I say. That's all you got? That's it? I'm not going to argue with him. Yeah, I did that. Who cares? It's under the blood. Right? Repentance, forgiveness, holiness. That doesn't mean weird. It means set apart. Look, you can live a holy life and have an amazing life. Can I get amen? Generosity, dying to self, living for Christ, community. Everybody say community. Community, right? Living with each other, right? Investing into other people's lives, right? Sacrificial living, so on, the long list, right? If the answer is yes to this prophet, right? If the prophet's doctrine lines up with these things, we can be confident that their prophecy is from the Lord. If the answer is no, I don't care what they did. I don't care what they did. I don't care. Raise someone from the dead if your doctrine is pushing me away from Jesus even a little bit. I don't care what you got to say. Is that all right, church? See, in Deuteronomy 13, the Lord says, I am going to allow this false prophet to perform this sign and wonder to test you. To test you whether or not you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. We got folks, man, I don't hear so much of it anymore. Maybe COVID was a blessing in some ways. Can I get amen? But my goodness, for several years I'd hear folks, man, there was people we knew, well, good friends with them at the time, but they were like, oh my, you know, hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're going to this prophetic conference every weekend. They're going to prophetic conference somewhere. Like, how many words do you need from the Lord before you just get off your butt and do something about it? My goodness gracious. I saw something recently on Facebook. It says, you need to stop praying about something that God already told you what to do. Oh, I'm going to keep praying about this. The Lord says, no, I didn't. You already prayed about it. Go do something. Can I get amen? See, church, we need prophets in the body of Christ. I'm convinced the more I'm studying Revelation, we're in the end times, man. And it's weird. Like, it's exciting, but then it's also like, I kind of want to be a grandpa. You know what I mean? And I think I've got a few years before that happens, I hope. Jesus' name. You know what I mean? Like, I start thinking, like, I want to, you know, walk my girls down the aisle, all that good stuff. But you know what? That might not happen. The Lord may very well be in that 7 years right now, church, in the book of Revelation. It's crazy. But let's get back to Matthew 7 here. I want to tie some things together here in Jesus' name. Hope you guys can catch this, all right? Jesus tells us in Matthew's gospel that we will know these prophets, false or true, good or bad, by their fruit, right? So let's think about this. In verse 17 and 19, we see Jesus uses this word bear, right? A good tree bears good fruit. Bad tree bears bad fruit, right? A bad tree can't bear good fruit. Good tree can't bear bad fruit, right? Verse 18, in the middle, the word is produce. Here's what's funny. As I was studying this, same Greek word. Weird that the translators decided to use a different English word in there, but it's an identical Greek word. Use all three verses. So think about this, right? It's the fruit that we determine whether it's good or bad, right? I know I'm belaboring this, but it's important. So think about this. Let's back up one step. How does a tree start? If you were going to go, I'm not talking about buying a tree at Home Depot and then digging a hole and sticking in the hole, right? I'm talking about if you like had no, you didn't have a tree to just plant, like you wanted to make a tree grow in your yard, what would you do? You'd go get some seeds, right? And you dig a hole and put the seed in and water it and all this stuff, right? So is it okay then? Could we then make a little bit of a step here to say if a tree is good, that's because it was birthed out of a good seed. And if a tree is bad, that means it was birthed out of a bad seed. Is that all right? Doesn't Jesus say that the seed is the word of God? See, parable of the seed and the soil, right? Luke 8:11 specifically, Jesus says, describes it, the seed is the word of God. Matthew 13:23, the same parable, this is what he says, the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, everybody say good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands it, everybody say understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So let me propose something here just for a moment. Hopefully you guys are going to be okay with this. If you're not, just pray about it. And, you know, it's maybe it's a little prophetic, and the Bible says to receive everything, cleave to what's good. Can I get amen? If the word of God is the seed that produces good fruit when it finds good soil, then couldn't we suggest that the seed that produces a bad tree that in turn produces bad fruit is also born out of words? If the good seed is the word of God, the truth, then could we not say that the bad seed that produces a bad tree that produces bad fruit is by someone who's rejected the truth and chosen to build their life on something other than the truth? I remember years ago the Lord said to me, you know, something to the effect of this. I can't think of exactly how it was, but basically, like, you know, we say, well, geez, if you do this, nothing good's going to happen. Or if you do this, nothing's going to happen, right? Oh, nothing's going to happen. And the Holy Spirit one day said to me, nothing good is going to happen. Something always happens. So I can intentionally make something good happen, plant good seed, nurture, take care, pray, water, fast, or I can neglect it. Come on, church, anybody built, you know, dug a garden out and then neglected it? Something grows in it. You're like, where'd that come from? Pretty sure Jesus talks about that. The farmer plants good seed and then he goes to bed and the enemy sneaks in and sows tares at night. Can I get amen? Paul warns us in Galatians chapter 1. I hope you guys get this. It's so good. That there will be people that will come in and bring what Paul calls a different gospel. Now, there's some stuff, since I've been studying Revelation and going through the Sermon on the Mount, that there's some stuff that's connecting in my spirit that I'm like, oh my goodness. Right? How do people get led astray by signs and wonders? Like, what is this, these lying signs and wonders, right? We talked about this 2 Sundays ago, right? It's this thing that, to deceive somebody, if I'm going to deceive my sister or this brother here, right, I'm not going to do something that would obviously be wrong. I'm going to do something that looks at, man, that's got to be God. Look how good that is. We don't wait. And we don't pray just for the sake of the recording, right? It's like we're so like, wow, we got to do this. You know, the Bible says to beware. Book of Proverbs, man. We're reading through Proverbs on Tuesdays, right? Proverbs is full of stuff. Beware of making a rash decision, right? Just because something looks good, don't jump on it. Can I get amen? So something that I've discovered, maybe some of you already got this, but we've got to understand the end times. What the devil is going to do in the end times, my beloved, is not blatant heresy. He's going to do the very same thing he did from the beginning, which was take what God said, twist it just a little, so it still sounds good. It still sounds like it's God, but it's no longer God. You're like, oh my, you know, I tell people all the time, we get, oh, the devil, this, the devil, look, the devil is not stupid, but he's also not creative. You figure out the devil has got about 4 or 5 things that he does, that's it. No, those have some variations, and can I get an amen? But won't you, he's not creative at all, my beloved. The devil has never created one single thing. Not one. He does not have creative power. If you think that darkness is stronger than light, stop watching Hollywood movies. Never in the history of creation has darkness been able to push back on light. Ever. It's not possible. Stop believing that garbage. Can I get amen? Paul warns the church. You read Galatians 1, read it. And there's some, if you have a cross-reference stuff in your Bible, there's some good cross-references out of Galatians 1. A different, he says, I don't understand how you're being led away by a different Everybody say gospel. You know what the word gospel means, church? Good news. There's people sneaking into the churches in Galatia, all right, because that's what Paul says, to the church is in Galatia. There's multiple churches in this region, this city in this region. Paul's saying that there's teachers coming in bringing good news that's not the good news. I think we're right here. I think we're right here, my beloved. You want? Here's what it sounds like. I'm just going to be straight. If I get in trouble, just pray for me. Right? Hey, sorry to who I have sex with. Doesn't matter. Because God loves me. Yes, God loves you. Amen. Right? For sure. 100,000%. No question about it. Right? Because God loves you doesn't mean you can have sex with anybody you want to have sex with. That is sin. It's fornication. And the Bible says fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. New Testament, church. That's not Old Testament stuff. That's New Testament stuff. Right? I can have premarital sex and it's all good because God loves me. Lie. I can be homosexual. I can be transgender. I can be this. I can be this. Lie, 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 and lie. I can do that stuff because God loves me. Yes, that's true. But does not give you permission to do whatever you want with your life. If you've experienced the love of God, you know what? You don't want to do that stuff anymore. Look, I spent many, many years as a very new Christian coming in and crying at the altar and then walking out and doing exactly the same thing I did before I cried at the altar. And I realized, like, I believed in Jesus, man, but I realized, like, something is not clicking here. I feel badly, but I'm not changing. John Bevere's got a great teaching between the worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. He says worldly sorrow is focused on you and how badly you feel about what you've done. But godly sorrow is focused on, I am offending the one who saved me. And I'm hurting people that I care about. And then I worry about how it impacts me. See, if I look at my sin, is that I'm hurting God. I'm offending the one who gave his son for me. You will change. Because that's godly sorrow. That's the prodigal son. I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy. The father's like, whoop, all I need to hear. Now you're worthy. Can I get amen, church? See, in other words, what Paul's warning us here, what Jesus is warning us about, what Moses warned us about, is that they will bring a lie wrapped up in something that sounds like good news. I'm going to hit another one while we're making a mess out of this. Oh, you don't have to tithe anymore, Pastor. That's Old Testament. Okay. Pretty sure Jesus, dealing with all the religious folks, he's like, you hypocrites. You tithe mint, dill, and cumin and neglect the weightier matters of the law. Like love, justice, and mercy, I think are the three things he gives, right? Then he says, you should have done these things without neglecting the former things. Jesus. I'm telling you what, church, I'm just going to say it. Anybody ever used to listen to Larry Burkett? Anybody know that name? Larry Burkett? Larry Burkett died quite a while ago now, but I heard that. Wow. I didn't say this. This is Larry Burkett. All right. I heard that his last sermon, the last sermon he preached, this is what he said to people. I can tell you if somebody's saved or not by looking at their checkbook. Ouch. Church, could you imagine? Do you know that Jesus teaches more about money in the Gospels than heaven, hell, and salvation combined? Could you imagine folks would be like, oh, I don't got tithe anymore. And then they stand before God someday and he says, I don't know you. Oh, God would never do that. Oh, really? Because where we're stopped today in Matthew 7, read just two verses down when you get home, because that's the very next thing we're going to do. Many in that day will say to me, Lord, Lord, look at all we've done for you. He's like, don't know you. Wow. Church, I tell you what, I'm like, God wants 10%. Here you go. No worries. I'm telling you the truth. I believe that. I really do. You disagree with me, that's fine. I'm the pastor. I got the mic. You can disagree with me all day long. It's fine. All right? To me, like money, that is not something I'm going to let come between me and God. I'm just saying it like that. Can I get amen? Larry Burkett said that, not me. See, in Matthew 7, we're told by Jesus that we're to judge prophets by their fruit. I'm not sure, church, listen to this. I'm not sure, honestly, that Jesus is referring to the fruit of the Spirit right there. And he is definitely not referring to how big their ministry is. I knew that was going to be quiet. Come on, y'all. We're drawn to that, aren't we? Oh, look how many people go to that church. Must be something going on over there. Wow. The heavens have spoken. You know, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for thunder and voice is the same word. Q-O-L. When God was speaking to Moses, he heard a voice. Everybody else heard thunder. And then when God actually spoke, so they're like, whoa, that's been God the whole time. Then that's when they're like, don't let God talk to us anymore. We're going to die. See, church, I think that Jesus in Matthew 7 is talking about their doctrine in addition to the character. Can I get amen? I can trick you with my character. I can trick you, right? And I think that's why it's so important that we get over our fear of being hurt, our fear of being offended, and we start living authentic lives. We start letting people in and say, look, here's what it looks like when my hair's down a little bit. You do that? Yeah, I do. Can I get amen, church? We're so terrified of it because we're like, oh my gosh, they're going to judge me. They're this. You know, that's their problem, not mine. Right? We're terrified of it because we've been judged. We've been hurt. But the Lord is saying, come on, man. Stop allowing that to hinder you from walking in the freedom I've called you to. Doctrine. In other words, if we think about the fruit of the Spirit and someone who's truly walking and flowing in that fruit, I'd say we'd consider that person to be very loving. Can I get amen, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, something in self-control, right? If we look at those nine fruits, we look at this person and say, wow, what a loving person. Is that safe to say that, right? But you can have somebody who's very loving, whose doctrine is a disaster. They have no idea what the Bible says. Very nice people, wonderful people, going straight to hell because they have no idea what the Bible says. And then, church, you can have folks that are airtight in their doctrine and got no Holy Spirit fruit at all. I just saw something from Lisa Bevere, John Bevere's wife, and she says this. There's a new documentary coming out. And she says, you know, what I've realized is that for decades, the church has been preaching truth, 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 truth with no love. And so the world has rejected it, and the world now is preaching love, 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 love with no truth. I shared on Bible study the other night, there's a country song. I listen a little bit of country once in a while. Yes, I do. Go ahead and judge me. It's your problem, all right? There's this country song, and this guy says, I believe you love who you love. Ain't nothing you need to be ashamed of. I liked the song, and then I paid attention to that lyric one time, and I was like, oh, man. Love who you love. Doesn't matter. Dude, yes, it does. And he's not talking about phileo love. You understand what I'm talking about, church? He's talking about romantic love. Can I get amen? Right? It's not okay to just love who you love. Right? We got to grab onto that. Is that all right? And I'm not just, please, some of you, I can feel it. Some of you are going like, oh, you're talking about homosexuals again. Yes, but look, church, okay, look, I'm married, and that be therefore, because I made a covenant with my wife, I'm not permitted to be affectionately love another woman. That's sin. We've seen news articles left and right of pastors and prophets and leaders in the church having affairs with other women. Come on. This has got to stop. It's got to stop. It's ridiculous. Dude. Crazy. I'm not mad. I'm happy. In Revelation 13, I'm going to tie this. We're almost done. I promise. Revelation 13, I just want to touch on something super fast here because you guys, this is, it all ties in, right? Talking about a different gospel, right? Talking about doctrine and fruit. Can I get amen? That's where we're on, right? But Revelation 13, if you read, I'd encourage y'all, read through Revelation and listen, maybe listen to something. You can check my videos out. We've got a few new friends here in the church that are been in Revelation for years and they're saying, hey man, you're doing good. I was like, whew, thank God. Praise the Lord. In Revelation 13, my beloved, we see the rise of the dragon. He comes up in chapter 12, but in chapter 13, the dragon is Satan. It says it right in chapter 12. Satan and the devil, same thing, all right? The word devil in the Bible means accuser, same word. Amen. So Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's all he does. That's all he does all day long, day and night, is accuse the saints, try to get God's ear and listen to, right? He tries to get our ear. He accuses us of things and says, shut up. Amen. In chapter 13, Satan has been cast down to the earth, and he's standing on the seashore, and he calls this beast out of the sea. The beast has 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns on each head. One head has a fatal wound, the Bible says, on it, but the fatal wound gets healed on one of these 7 heads. This guy, some commentators are saying maybe this is a nation that rises up with 7 leaders. Horns are a sign of authority, right? So one of these leaders, whether it's one country, because 7 can be completion, it could be one country rising up. They're saying that this is the Antichrist. This first beast is the Antichrist, the last one that will happen before Jesus comes back. Could be a political leader, most likely. One of these heads has a fatal wound, and the Bible says that the fatal wound gets healed by who? By the serpent, by the dragon. You know, years ago, the Spirit of God said to me, he says, you know the devil can heal people? And I was like, whoa, I can't remember who it was I shared that with. They're like, no way, man, the devil can't heal people. And I'm like, really? That's talk about a lying sign and wonder. I think he can. Can I get amen? That's Deuteronomy, man. Like if the devil raised somebody from the dead, you'd be like, that has to be God. It has to be. That's what we're warned about. Can I get amen? The result of this head being healed, the Bible says that the whole earth worships the beast. Wow. Why? Not because it's like, wow, it's obviously the devil, and he did something good, so let's worship. It's obviously the devil. No, it doesn't look like the devil. It doesn't seem like the devil. He's doing things. That has to be God. Antichrist. This gentleman I'm listening to, this is what he says. In English, when you say something is anti, it means opposite, right? So like antihistamine, this ability that the antihistamine, if you have an allergic reaction, you take an antihistamine, right? Because it's supposed to kill histamine, apparently, whatever histamine, I don't know. I don't know, right? Antibacterial wipes, antibacterial wipes, they're going to save the world, you know? Don't leave home without it, you know what I mean? But they're antibacterial, they're supposed to kill bacteria, right? So, 23 years I've been with the Lord. I've never heard this teaching. I was like, oh, literally, I was like, what? I looked it up. In the Greek, anti does not mean against. It means in place of. And this guy literally, this is what he says, a substitute savior. And you know, as soon as I heard that, you know what I heard? Just in my heart was like, there's the government. Trust us, we'll save you. Trust us, we'll give you stimulus checks. Church, you know where those stimulus checks are coming from? I hope Jesus comes back, because my kids and my grandkids will be paying all that money back. The government's got no money. The government's broke. The government's in debt. Come on, church. They don't know what they're doing. If any one of us ran a business like the government runs their business, we'd be out of business. I mean, if we can, if I can run the church like that, I want a raise. I saw a board member was like, right there, off camera. Can I get, but you see what I'm saying? Congress, vote ourselves raises. From what? There's no money, bro. Oh, my gosh, they don't deserve. You know who should get raises? Is our veterans. For crying out loud. Guys, seriously, a little side. I don't know. So can you all pray with this? Pray with me about this. I have such a soft spot in my heart. I talk about veterans, I just start crying. I want to do something for veterans. Like a ministry, you know what I mean? Like, I buy clothes. A lot of my clothes, I find, I just bought this hair stuff. You guys like my hair today? It's new stuff in my hair. But I was looking at the fine print. It says, portions of this donation help veterans. I was like, I didn't even see that. I was like, praise God. I'll buy everything from you guys now. I buy t-shirts now that, you know, look pretty good because I've been going to the gym. But there, this whole thing, man, they all their money goes to veterans. Veterans, it's a veterans-launched company. Veterans work there, and they go to prevent veteran suicide, and they're helping veterans get homes and all these things, man. Can I get amen? I think we should fire all the politicians and give all their money to veterans. Yeah. Here we go. I'm done. Oh, I'm done right here. The beast that comes out of the sea, the Antichrist, has one head that everyone can see, has a fatal wound on it. But the fatal wound is healed, and the whole earth worships him. Why? Because it looks like kingdom. Man, looks like kingdom. We need discernment. How do we discern it? What is, because you know what happens right after that? The beast starts uttering all kinds of blasphemous words against God and against the host of heaven. I don't know what the host of heaven exactly is. Could be angelic beings. Could be saints that were taken out, like the remnant of the church that gets taken out pre-trib. I don't know. But I realize over in Peter actually warned us. He says there's going to be people that will rise up, false prophets and false teachers, 2 Peter, I think it's chapter 2. And he says right there, guys, I'm going to share this really quick. I'm almost done. But he says that these people have no conscience. They don't fear reviling angelic majesties. It's the beast. Blasphemous words against God and against the host of heaven. How do we know that the beast is the Antichrist? Because of his doctrine. His doctrine is wrong. Blasphemy, my beloved, is not going to be opposite of what God says. You got to get this. I'm trying to hammer this one home. We've got to pay attention. The way the devil is going to bring blasphemy into the church is he's going to take this is what's true, and he's going to go 1 degree south. Hey, look at this. Don't worry about that. It's all good. It's fine. Church, you know what? I never one time, 23 years in the Lord, not one time has God been dealing with sin in my life, and he's never one time said to me, don't worry about it, it's fine. Not one time. He's like, I love you, I got you, cut it out. And here's what I think Jesus taught me. Let's stand up. I got like 9 paragraphs left. It's perfect. We're going to get you guys those treadmills like they use at the office now so they can stand at their desk and walk. Nah, I'm done right here. Just like a little bit of, just got to read here just a little bit. We must understand, my beloved, that the Antichrist, the final one, although an entirely evil being or party or political party, a little bit gray, right? But they will not appear to be evil to people without, everybody say without, the discernment of the Holy Spirit. those who don't know the scriptures. Excuse me. Oh, Pastor, I don't know the Bible. I don't understand it. You know what? Neither did I. Did anybody come out of your mother's room knowing how to tie your shoes? Anybody? That was pretty challenging, wasn't it? Make the little bunny and it chases around the tree and goes in her, I don't know. Right? We all figured that out, didn't we? Remember the first time you drove a car and then intimidating? We all figured that out, didn't we? Stop saying I don't understand the Word of God. You have the author living inside of you. You can understand it if you put the time into it. Can I get amen? If you don't know the Word of God, my beloved, you're going to be in trouble. So that's the truth. You're going to be in trouble if you don't know the Word of God. You don't need to know chapters and verses. Okay, that's just how my brain works. Okay, I memorize that stuff. I still remember my phone number from when I was 5 years old. All right. 716-398-3913. All right. I don't know why I remember that, but I just remember that stuff. Okay, numbers, like, make sense? I remember that stuff. Okay, you don't need to know that. You just need to know this is what God says about this. That doesn't matter where it is in the Bible. God said it. It doesn't matter whatever you say. I know it's not what God has said. Can I get amen? See, this is what Jesus is talking about in judging whether a prophet is good or bad. And again, this is a stone in our foundation. That's the Sermon on the Mount. Can I get amen, church? When the storm comes, if our foundation is right, our house will stand. The Lord is perfectly fine with us taking a prophetic word and examining. Scriptures tell us to do that. Just because you got a word, just because you cried when you got it, just because it was confirmation for something, just because you got goosebumps or someone said, "Thus says the Lord," you need to examine it. Is it actually from God? Is this prophet serving the Lord or serving the devil? See, we'll have one more section to hit in this sermon. We'll touch probably next week, right? But this one, church, so important, right? That we examine the prophets. Father, in Jesus' name, you finished this section here, Lord, by saying all the false prophets, they'll be cut down and thrown into the fire. Lord, we're not afraid of false prophets because you're not afraid of false prophets. According to your word, Father God, you allow them to operate. You allow them to do things. You allow them to perform signs and wonders. You allow them to speak. You allow them. I mean, come on, church. When I was a younger Christian, I'd be like, why doesn't God just shut these guys up? Because God is testing us. Do you want me or do you want the easy way out? Do you want to walk through the small gate and on the narrow path, or do you just want another magic trick? God, we want the real thing. We want the real prophets. We need them, Lord. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, God, we need the prophets. We call forth in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, church, agree with me here. We call forth the real prophets in the mighty name of Jesus, God. The real prophets, Father, the ones that will stand up with real truth, God. The ones with real doctrine, Father. The ones that will not twist around the Word of God. The ones who will not manipulate people. The ones who will not take advantage of people. The ones who are not trying to get money out of people. The ones who are going to say, look, I don't care if nobody follows me. This is God's truth. Father, we thank you right now for raising up a generation of true prophets. Father, that you'd also anoint the body of Christ with some discipline to get into the scriptures, God, that we'd know the Word of God, not to kill these prophets, but to call them out. Come on, man, you're wrong. Get right with God. Yes, you've got an anointing on your life, but your anointing is not enough. Get right with God. Father, we don't want these prophets to die. We don't want these prophets to be destroyed, God. We're asking for an anointing to see through the false prophets and call them out. Come, get right with God. Father, that's your word. You don't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name for the ability to discern rising up in our hearts by the power of your Spirit and the truth of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said amen. Amen. Guys, have an awesome week. In Jesus' mighty name.